2-Minute Drill. You're listening to the 2-Minute Drill with fantasy guru Joey T and your host, Kurt Cross. The 2-Minute Drill is a football fantasy podcast and is not meant to encourage betting or wagering. Any stats or tips mentioned are for entertainment purposes only. Joey T and your host, Kurt Cross, do not condone or endorse sports betting or wagering. And now, fantasy guru Joey T and your host, Kurt Cross.
Joey T, what's up, my man?
What's good, Curtis? How you doing today, man?
We're going to welcome people to week one of the 2-Minute Drill. I'm your host, Kurt Cross, and our resident fantasy guru is none other than Mr. Joey T. We want to remind you that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and we do not endorse, encourage you to drop a truckload of money into gambling. This is the 2-Minute Drill. He's Joey T. I'm Kurt Cross, and we're going to get into some good stuff today. Joey T, what's up, my man?
Not much, man. I'm happy football's back. It was an enjoyable week, man. It was a lot of fun watching the games.
For two good reasons.
Which reason?
Well, something happened in Landover and something happened in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. I love a Commanders win. But even more than that, I love a Cowboys loss.
You is know? That what it is?
You couple the two together, it's just like the
It's going to be a good week.
It is. It's
your Sunday nice was week. Made.
Yep, you ain't going to see none of those Cowboys fans, though. They get real quiet after a loss.
Not a peep on Facebook.
I think you know what it is?
What's up?
They must go back home to Dallas.
No.
When they lose.
No, they're not from Dallas.
Have they ever been there?
Probably never even seen the inside of AT&T Stadium.
I don't think they've ever been there before.
But somehow.
I don't know where they go.
The big D is on, the star is on their chest.
That must be. More like little D.
Right. You know? We got to tell the people how to reach us. Joey, it's Joey T and Kurt at gmail.com. For those new to our podcast, welcome. And for those who are loyal listeners, we thank you for continuing to listen. Joey T is our resident fantasy expert. And, he's going to look at players, stats, pickups, drops, and you'll be able to navigate your way, around the fantasy football world just a bit better. Because Joey T is in your corner. Joey, I'm going to stop here and say, how's the week? How's the family?
The week was good. Family's great. You know, my wife took the girls to my aunt's house on Sunday, so I was able to kind of just focus on
the game.
That was nice. It was a nice little... It's a nice little thing, you know. Like I like having my girls there and watching the games.
No doubt.
Week one is just like, you know, the one week where I kind of like need my time, you know.
It's months of waiting.
I'll teach y'all about the game though next week, you know. Week one I need to focus, you know. So it was a good day. It was a good week.
All right, good. Week one is in the books, Joey. We're going to talk about that, but before you get into your week one efforts, I'd like to offer thanks from Chelsea MC because under your preseason guidance, she did win her week one fantasy matchup, and that's what happens when you listen to Joey T. She's never played fantasy football. She did make one mistake. She didn't start Saquon, though, but she didn't need him.
She didn't. If you didn't need Saquon, the RB2 on the week
right.
to win a week, then that means you got a good squad on your hands. So you know she's good. Her season's looking bright already.
Already, she got that week one win. But Joey, I am not. I'm taking the shackles off. I want you to go for it. Talk to the people, Joey.
Okay, let's do it. Well, usually we like to talk about some of the players that did good and did bad. On the week. So we're going to start off with that this weekend. I got to give the aforementioned Saquon Barkley his props.
Give him his props, right?
This dude has been hurt for the majority of his career, which is one of the reasons I tend to shy away from him.
Okay.
Because running backs that get injured all the time tend to get me nervous, especially when you draft them that high. When you use your first or second round pick on him, you need that guy to be, like I told you in the pre-draft show, that I like... Well, my first two picks, I want those guys to be as safe as possible because I want them. I don't want to be missing. Those guys can lose you your season.
So Chelsea picking up Kelsey, that was a nice pickup.
That
for
was
her.
A good move because he's about him. And he's a cheat code in that position. That's
I need
a great
him,
move.
I need him to score one more TD though. He only had one TD.
That's fine. That one TD and he had like over 100 yards. That's great.
Yeah, 100 and some change.
He crushed all the tight ends. Tight ends had a down week aside from him. So,
okay, all right.
I'll take it.
Well, he does have someone passing to him that's the QB1 for the week, right?
He is.
Okay, get into that. My bad. You know what? This is the Joey T and Kurt show. I need to let you lead it. Let me shut up.
It's all good. But Saquon ran for 164 yards. He had 6 catches for 30 yards.
Come on, man.
No touchdowns, but it was nice. He had 9 yards per carry.
Right.
9 yards per carry. Like, that's right? Ridiculous.
Okay, all
and
right.
If he's able to run like this for the rest of the season, if he stays healthy, he's going to be an absolute monster this year. Number 2 is my boy, Justin Jefferson. Yeah, I didn't mention him number 1 because, you know, we kind of already knew what was going to go down here, you know?
Right.
But Justin Jefferson had 9 catches, 184 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
That gets it done.
Gets it done.
all day long.
Yes. Like, I mean, that's like him and Kirk Cousins are on a mission to prove that Jefferson's the number 1 wide receiver this year. They said so much, you know, I think Saturday morning or something. So, like, those guys are playing. Cousins is going to force feed Jefferson, and Jefferson's just going to eat. Like, so if you have this guy on your team, you know, it's gonna be just a boon for your fantasy squad.
I mean, he's at 20 per catch, dog. He's at 20 or 20 per, yeah, on his receptions. He's averaging 20 points.
He's,
I mean,
uncoverable. He's uncoverable. One, you can't cover him. He was wide open multiple times. And they know that he's going to be throwing the ball, but they still can't cover him.
Right, it's 2 ridiculous. TDs. He went for a 64-yard bomb. Justin Jefferson, he's safe. He's Kelsey safe. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes. All right. So then we have, I know you had mentioned Patrick Mahomes being the QB1, which he was. He was amazing. The one thing, you know, the thing I liked about him was that everybody was like, oh, no, he lost Tyreek. How's he going to, you know, fill that void? But, you know, they added Juju. They added Marquise. Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They added Sky Moore, who didn't do a whole lot, but like he also threw it to some tight end 2, tight end 3 types, and then also he started including Clyde Edwards-Helaire into the passing game. Like, so he spread the ball around, and he's that good. So he's gonna produce without having a talent like Tyreek Hill on the board. But the guy I wanted to mention was actually Carson Wentz, my guy.
Uh-oh, Commanders, you know, in the house?
Yeah. The reason I mentioned him is because he was one of the last quarterbacks taken, one of the last drafted fantasy football quarterbacks. Even though last year he finished right around QB 13, everybody just was like, has that, like, the end of the season bad taste in the mouth. But he had a productive season last year from a fantasy perspective. So him going as the one of the last quarterbacks off the board, I thought was crazy and ridiculous value, and I got him in a lot of leagues. Okay. So he threw for 313 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
He did have the 2 picks, but, I mean, he still finished as the QB3 on the week. You can have those picks if you're able to overcome it with the rest of the production. He's got the best wide receivers he's ever thrown to, the Commanders have had for a decade. Okay. And I think that's going to – he's going to keep throwing the ball. So –
66% completion, 101 rating. He did go for a 50-yard bomb, but like you said, 4 TDs, and he's got some targets.
Yeah, you know, quarterbacks need to throw for touchdowns. You know, that's how they get their points up there. And he threw for 4, so I'll take it. I'll take it. That was a big one. We talk about some guys that didn't do so well. You know, we'll start at the quarterback position because we just talked about it. But Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
I mean, the Green Bay team just looked terrible, especially the passing offense. The running backs looked pretty good. But Aaron Rodgers himself, I mean, was the 30s. Talk about, he was drafted as a top 10 quarterback, and he was the 32nd scoring quarterback on the week. So literally the worst quarterback.
Are you saying Dak Prescott hurt? Dak Prescott did better than him?
I guess. Like, I mean, it's crazy. So he only had 195 passing yards and an interception. He had 3.7 fantasy points. That's not going to get it done.
Now he dropped.
Now he had a rookie wide receiver drop like a 70-yard touchdown pass.
Right.
So, you know, you got to count on that, but that guy's not going to see the field for 2 months because Aaron Rodgers ain't going to have that kind of crap, you know?
Right.
But either way, you know, there's luckily quarterbacks easily replaceable, so if you have Aaron Rodgers as your stud, you might want to start looking. Maybe you pick up Carson Wentz, you know?
Maybe wait to see
if Aaron Rodgers can get a little bit more chemistry with his young wide receiver core.
All right.
Cam Akers, obviously, on Thursday night was a dagger. He's a guy that I liked. going into the year. Zero fantasy points. He had 3 carries for 0 yards. Darrell Henderson looks like the RB1 there. I don't know what's going on with Cam Akers. It sounds like there's a little bit of there's a little friction between him and McVay. Sounds like, I don't know if it's a work ethic thing or that Cam Akers just isn't doing what they want him to do, you know, on the practice field and locker room. But, you know, I think Cam Akers is a talented running back, and he's going to get more opportunities down the road. You know, McVay said he was going to ride the hot hand. So, you know, maybe Akers starts getting more opportunities there. So I hope, you know, otherwise it's not totally jumping ship now, but if he doesn't start turning around a little bit, then we might have to run screaming.
All right.
And then the third guy is Devonta Smith from the Eagles. Mm-hmm. 0 fantasy points, 0 catches. He had 4 targets, and that's rough because, you know, his counterpart, A.J. Brown, had 10 catches for 155 yards
right
on 13 targets.
Like, I think Chelsea has him too. Yeah, he didn't do her so well this week.
No. He's a talented guy. Like, he's a good wide receiver. I don't actually know why, you know, what exactly happened. I didn't watch the game, so I couldn't really tell. But I mean, I know that Hurts and AJ Brown had instant chemistry in training camp.
Okay,
so maybe AJ Brown's a bigger target. Jalen Hurts isn't the most accurate quarterback, so maybe having that bigger catch radius is a little bit more comfortable for Jalen Hurts. But yeah, Devonta Smith, if you have other options, I would try to keep him on the bench until you start seeing a little bit more production.
All right. You want to talk about teams? The Buffalo Bills, they did their thing defensively, but good Lord, the Houston Texans gave up 517 yards. You don't want to start that defense, huh?
No, you don't want to start the defense, you know. But, I mean, you know, the Houston Texans, we knew was going to be a, you know, they're still in the building process.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, they had that game. They were winning that game for most of that, you know, they're winning that game for most of the day. So, right. They hung in there. We thought it looked like it was going to be an upset, you know, like totally.
Right.
And they outperformed the defense. The defense took some L's, but that offense, Davis Mills might be able to play in this league, and that's a good sign, you know. OJ Howard coming out of nowhere to score a couple touchdowns. I think the Texans really need to focus on getting some pass catchers, okay, a little bit more talent on the squad. But the Texans are, I think they're going in the right direction. You got to take some losses to build.
Right, you absolutely. Know? All right. Cincinnati did that for years, and, well, they were riding high last year.
They did.
Talk to me about who you want to see people pick up or what have you. I have a couple things I want to talk about, but people are here to listen to. Who can they pick up? Now, we don't want – let me ask you this, Joey. When it comes to fantasy football philosophy, I'm guessing you're the kind of guy, you don't want people to have knee-jerk reactions. One bad week doesn't mean you change your whole roster, right?
Absolutely not. And I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention that. Like, some of these guys, like, don't go out cutting Cam Akers or Devonta Smith because they got 0 week one. Like, that's right. Those guys, like, fantasy football, it's going to be ebbs and flows. There's going to be fluctuations. I mean, if Darrell Henderson, heaven forbid, gets hurt, I don't ever like seeing injuries, then Cam Akers is going to jump right into that
he goes RB1
role, and he's going to go nuts. Like, there are certain things like that that you got to just, you know, you sometimes you take this out. What you do is you put that player on the bench until you see that he's getting a little bit more production.
Get a couple weeks, get some yes, you know, some energy behind that.
Exactly.
If you are, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to let you get right to that. What do you do? I know we don't give them a lot of airtime here, but what do you do if you are the Dallas Cowboys? Dak Prescott out 6 to 8 weeks. How do you solve that? Because you're looking at, like, as we discussed pre-show, you're looking at 2-6. No, with what's the quarterback that got Cam somewhere?
Cooper Rush. So if I'm Jerry Jones, I pick up the phone with San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, you're going out west.
Who just lost their RB1 in Eli Mitchell for about 2 months, same amount of time as Dak, basically.
Okay.
And I asked them if they would what they would need in addition to Ezekiel Elliott for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow, you're talking blockbuster in week two.
Let's do it. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is just rotting behind Trey Lance. That he adjusted his salary cap to be a little bit more trade friendly.
Flexible, yeah.
Jerry Jones has a bad contract with Ezekiel Elliott. I know he likes him and this and the other, but that could be a symbiotic trade partner for him because they lost a running back, they lost a quarterback. You make those swaps, you'd have to add something to Zeke's side because Zeke has a crappy contract. So taking that on for a team on a running back is not necessarily projected. But I mean, you add a third round pick in there, and I mean, you're getting a quarterback, and all of a sudden you feel like you can compete if you have a starting quarterback. Cooper Rush is not that guy.
Send the Jerry Jet out to San Francisco, pick up Garoppolo, send them a third rounder or whatever they need within reason with Zeke out west. You need a QB1 now.
Yeah, and the Cowboys have Tony Pollard, who's a more explosive runner at this stage of their careers than Ezekiel Elliott anyway. Okay. You know, and this way you're getting something for Garoppolo. And the Cowboys are getting a big hole filled for them, you know? So
seems like every year that goes down and they have some troubles. Let's turn our attention back to where you think people should focus as we move into week two of the fantasy season.
All that said, I doubt it gets done. So your number one waiver wire pickup for the week is Jeff Wilson, running back for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, RB1 Mitchell got Elijah Mitchell, the running back for the Niners, went down. He's out about 2 months. Jeff Wilson is the unquestioned backup. And, he had 9 carries for 22 yards. Not great. But it was also a monsoon there. And that was a note I wanted to mention earlier. I am not going to begrudge any of the players in that game for having poor performances. I mean, it was like a flood. People were hydroplaning. Conditions were ridiculous. So Trey Lance, I actually think all the Niners, all these guys are buy lows. Trey Lance is a buy low. He's going to have better games than that. Brandon Ayuk's a buy low. Debo Smith's a buy low. Even on the Browns side, I'd say, you know, you can buy low on Darnell Mooney, who disappointed with one catch. Like, a lot of these, David Montgomery's going to have, you know, he had like 20 carries. You know, he didn't do a lot with them, but he was literally running in a swamp. So it's like, so that game, and I try not to give mulligans too much, but that game wasn't just rain. Right. It was a fun game. I'm sure they had a lot of fun playing it, but it's like, that's a game that I'm not going to just make any crazy reactions. But if you can take advantage of your other league mates who may not have realized that, you know, then all of a sudden you go and you try to get Trey Lance or Debo Samuels or Brandon Ayuk or Darnell Mooney or any of those guys, David Montgomery, then maybe you make a trade with those for those studs. I think that's going to pay off down the road.
Cool.
But Jeff Wilson's going to have a higher yards per carry average so he's a good running back, and we love Kyle Shanahan running backs, especially in San Francisco. They're going to run the ball. They seem to put whoever they put back there tends to do well. It's the scheme, almost not as much as the running back. So that's going to be good for Jeff Wilson. We also have Tyrion Davis-Price as the rookie running back that they drafted in, I think it was third or fourth round. So way higher than people expected out of LSU. He's a big boy at 6'1", 219. Now, he did essentially lose a training camp battle to another, like, undrafted rookie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know much about the homeboy. Excuse me. I don't know much about the undrafted rookie, and my internet's not coming up right now, so I'm unable to get this guy. Oh, here he goes.
We want to get you an iPad.
I know. Jalen. Oh, no, not Jalen Warren. What's this dude's name?
Well, he's looking.
Jordan Mason. Okay, yeah. All right. He's an undrafted guy. I don't know anything about him. All I know is supposedly Tyrion Davis-Price lost a little secret battle between him and the undrafted guy. So keep both those names on your radar. But as of now, Jeff Wilson's the waiver wire darling of the week. Aside from that, you want to get Isaiah Pacheco in your squad if you don't have him. Rookie running back out of Kansas City, you know, that high-powered offense with, Patrick Mahomes slinging the rock at quarterback. Like, he maybe threw 2 touchdowns to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but Isaiah Pacheco had 12 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown on the ground. That's 5.1 yards a carry. Clyde Edwards-Helaire only had 7 carries on the ground for 42 yards. That's still 6 yards a carry, so that's still good. But the fact that Isaiah Pacheco, a late-round rookie running back, got more carries on the ground than Clyde Edwards-Helaire shows you that they think that there's a chance that Isaiah Pacheco becomes the lead running back on the team.
Okay.
You know, they don't believe a whole lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, Ronald Jones and is at the end of, you know, he's on the outside looking in. He almost got cut at training camp. Pacheco's an explosive, athletic freak. I think if he's on your waiver wire, you want to snatch him up big time. And then there's actually a good amount of wide receivers I think you should just grab, you know, to kind of hedge against those zeros from Devonta Smith and the Darnell Mooneys and the Allen Robinsons. Now, I wouldn't start these guys over these players, but you want to fill your roster, you know, the bench with some of these guys because they're getting opportunities. Robbie Anderson's probably the biggest name. He had 12 targets, 102 yards, 5 catches and a touchdown. I mean, he was the most productive wide receiver by far. DJ Moore, the most consistent wide receiver one on the team and the more talented player, if you ask me, only had 6 targets. Okay. So that's, you know, Robbie Anderson doubled his target opportunities, which is, you know, I mean, that's huge. And if he's on your waiver wire, snatch him up.
Okay.
He's also an explosive down the field threat, and if he's going to score, you know, those long bomb touchdowns, then you want him on your team. Another guy that I saw playing the Commanders this weekend at FedEx, Zay Jones. Now, he dropped a touchdown potentially or two, but he did have 6 catches on 9 targets and 65 yards. 9 targets is a lot of targets. You know, if he's going to get 9 targets a week, that's going to turn into more, you know, better fantasy production.
Okay.
He's the guy they paid in the offseason. I know a lot of people see, like, Marvin Jones there and some of these other names, but I think Zay Jones, they want Zay Jones to be the wide receiver two behind Christian Kirk. He just needs to catch those touchdowns. But they went back to him after he dropped it, and so they're not scared. Kyle Phillips, the rookie slot receiver from the Tennessee Titans, he had 9 targets as well, 6 catches, 66 yards, almost the exact same stat line as Zay Jones. I mean, the dude is a... He runs really good routes. He's kind of like one of those those really efficient wide receivers that, you know, he's not going to crush you with athleticism and size, but he's just a technician. And quarterbacks love that. So 9 targets, 6 catches in his first NFL game as a late-round rookie.
Right.
I mean, that's a guy that will almost definitely is on your waiver wire, and you might want to stash on your bench. An interesting name, DeAndre Carter. From the L.A. Chargers. He played for us last year. He was actually a really good return man and caught a couple balls last year for the Commanders. He had 3 catches on 4 targets for 64 yards and a touchdown. Keenan Allen's banged up. Josh Palmer kind of disappointed. I kind of thought DeAndre Carter might have, like, carved out a little role for himself there in the wide receiver 3 or 4 area. And everybody loves Justin Herbert as, like, a breakout, or not a breakout, but like a monster QB this year. And if that's the case, then he's going to need some of these pass catchers to really step up. And Mike Williams also kind of did his little disappearing act. So I'm sure he'll put up more points later. But again, to hedge against things like that, you want to get a guy like DeAndre Carter on the bench in case he continues this type of production. From the same team, Gerald Everett, tight end 4 of the week, one of my favorite sleeper tight ends. I did mention him in the preview, but he had 3 catches, 54 yards, and a touchdown. Like I said, aside from Kelsey, tight ends really didn't do a lot this week. I mean, you had O.J. Howard catch the 2 touchdowns. He was the tight end 2, but nobody started him. Nobody. Okay. You know,
all right.
That's not going to happen every week. But Gerald Everett, you know, he's a really athletic tight end. He's a little smaller. He's 6'3", 240. But he's been one of my guys that I've liked ever since he was a rookie. He showed some promise last year. He flashed with Seattle and Russell Wilson, but then Russell Wilson got hurt and he kind of disappeared. But I think he he's going to carve out a role as the tight end one in the Chargers organization, which is going to bode well. And I gotta mention Taysom Hill, the tight end from the tight end, running back, offensive weapon, wide receiver from whatever you want to call him, from the New Orleans Saints. He's listed as a tight end, so you plug him in your tight end position. He only had one catch for 2 yards, but he ran the ball four times and 81 yards and a touchdown.
Shazam.
So he had a big touchdown run. And it doesn't matter how these guys get their production as long as they're getting it.
Right.
So if Taysom Hill is on your bench and you're picking him up, and if he's going to be used like this, then you need to have him on your roster, you know? And, I mean, I mentioned O.J. Howard a couple of times, but two catches, 38 yards, and a touchdown. He literally caught two touchdowns, and that was his day. Nobody started him because he's only been with the team for a week. You know, he literally was on the he was cut by Buffalo. And then he got signed by the Texans, and then all of a sudden he goes in week one. But O.J. Howard, you want to have him on the team mainly because there's not a whole lot of competition for targets in the Houston Texans, you know, depth chart. But O.J. Howard is a you know, I need to believe it before I see it, before I start plugging him in. He's been nothing but upside his whole career. And he always has one big game, you know, like going back to college. Like he played for Alabama, and I'm pretty sure he had monster games and two national championships. But aside from it, which counted for like 40% of his of his like college his productions those years,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I think he had like a big game, I wanna say like week one, his rookie or sophomore year, and then he disappeared. So I hope he doesn't. I hope he's a thing. I like OJ Howard, but I'm not trusting him yet. But he needs to be off your waiver wire.
Okay.
One more running back that I wanted to mention, Dontrell Hilliard. You know, he finishes the RB7. He plays for the Tennessee Titans. Again, he's a guy that I'm a little more tentative to recommend. He had a big game. I mean, he had three catches for 61 yards and two touchdowns on four targets, two rushes for 8 yards. He's essentially the pass catching back for the Titans. You know, three catches, two touchdowns. That's, you know, 61 yards. He had some. That's not going to happen every week, you know. And I hope they keep throwing him the ball. But four targets isn't a ton. So he had a big week this week, but it might be fool's gold. But you know, he could also be a satellite back who gets a lot of opportunities if they're playing from a negative game script, and they need to throw the ball. So.
Talking about targets, Davante Adams for the Raiders, 17 targets. They're making it known where they're going, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, he went there for a reason, you know.
Right,
he went there because he was college roommates with Derek Carr, and
right.
You know, that's the whole reason he signed there. And at the end of the day, like, does it look like a bad move? No, I mean, Aaron Rodgers looked washed, you know.
Right.
And the Green Bay looks like they gave up halfway through that game. So even though the Raiders don't look like world beaters either, if he's going to get 17 targets and put up big numbers every week,
mm-hmm.
that's all he really cares about, you know. All that's going to do is pad his stats and help him get more money down the road, or help him get endorsement deals and, you know, his names on historical facts.
Right, right. Well, there were some targets going his way. And in addition to him, Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp, Michael Pittman Jr., and A.J. Brown, they all got double-digit targets. And Cooper Kupp, he's your WR1, and 13 receptions on 15 targets. He's going to be efficient, isn't he?
He's a wide receiver one, but the wide receiver one on the week was Justin Jefferson.
Well, on the week, I'm sorry, but yeah, in your pre-draft, you're like, Cooper Kupp, this is your guy.
No, Justin Jefferson was my guy. I like Cooper Kupp.
Justin Jefferson's further down. He didn't even get the targets that Cooper Kupp got. What's up with that?
But Justin Jefferson's a beast. You know?
He didn't get the targets. I'm talking targets now, Joey.
You're talking about targets.
I'm talking about targets. Like the big circle, the target store.
Your guy, but I'm talking Justin targets, Jefferson.
Joey, can I talk targets?
I like Cooper Kupp.
I'm asking, can I talk targets?
You can talk targets all you want. You know, I was just clarifying who my guy was all offseason. That was Justin. Like, if you had, like Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp, and Jefferson were kind of like, you know, everybody kind of had their different flavor for who they were.
He got 11 targets. Ooh, 11 targets.
That's good.
It's 9 for 11, though.
I'll take 11.
Got 9 receptions for 11.
I'll take 11 targets.
You know what people need to target? They need to target Tuesdays because that's when we're dropping this podcast in time for them to make their moves. Did you give them some moves there, Joey?
That is. I think I did. I did have two other quick things I wanted to mention specifically about fantasy purposes. One of the most interesting things I saw on the week from a fantasy perspective was actually last night. And it was Javonte Williams' game, right? Javonte Williams is one of my favorite running backs on the year, right?
All
right. I liked him preseason. I drafted him a little slightly over ADP because I wanted to make sure I got him. I think he's a young running back. I think he's going to explode this week. He finished as the RB12, I think, which was good. You know, he had 7 rushes for 43 yards, which is 6.1 yards a carry. You know, that's great. He had but the thing that really stuck out was that he had 12 targets as a running back,
right?
And caught 11 of them.
That's efficient
for 65 yards,
right?
And you know what? The thing that's most interesting about this is that he's a 220 pound back, and coming out of North Carolina, one of the big knocks on him was that he didn't catch any passes.
Right.
In college, he didn't catch a lot of passes. So everybody had that stigma. Well, like, will he catch passes? Will he be able to catch passes in the NFL? You know,
clearly,
is he going to be like, yeah, exactly. Like, is he going to be able to do that? And if he's not, like, then is he going to just be a 1 and 2, you know, between the tackles runner? Well, he proved last night that one, he can do it, and two, Russell Wilson obviously trusts him enough to throw him the ball. Like, a lot of it was in, you know, the second half when they're trying to check down and stuff and the end of the game. But I mean, that's fine. As long I was happy to see that he is the pass catching back on the team.
Okay.
He finished as RB12 and he fumbled on the goal line, which sucks. But he did it like a series after Melvin Gordon did it.
Right. That was two they had down there. Yeah.
It was a dagger because if he would have not fumbled, then they would have potentially been like, all right, well, Melvin Gordon's he's gonna fumble the rock in important situations. All right, Javonte's our guy, and it would have been less of a time.
Javonte had his shot,
but then Javonte lost the fumble too. But so if he wouldn't have lost that fumble, just adding two more points to his production would have vaulted him from RB12 up to RB8. Right
now, there's a conversation.
And if that goal line was not a fumble and turned into a touchdown, he would be the RB2 on the week. He would have scored more points by 0.3 than Saquon Barkley.
Got to hold on to the rock.
You got to hold on to the rock. But the production is there. If he's catching, he's not going to catch 11 balls a week. He's not going to have 12 targets. But if he's catching balls, if he's the pass catching back and the bruising running back and the younger guy, like, I think he could have turned into a workhorse, you know, down the road, and that's going to bode really well. So that was really interesting with me. I mean, no, Melvin Gordon did have more rush attempts than he did, but he wasn't quite as efficient at 4.8 yards a carry, which is still good.
It's still nice,
you know, but it's but he only had two targets and 2 catches. So yeah, they definitely want Javonte Williams in on there on a third down, which is great. And
just for the record, giving your boy his cred, you know, you gave Justin Jefferson his cred, 184 yards on the week on those 11 targets with 9 receptions. He's averaging 20.4. Yeah, I think he's your man.
Yeah, I think he's okay. Yeah.
Are we talking targets, Joey?
All right,
we're talking targets.
Your guy's Cooper Kupp. My guy's Justin Jefferson. Cooper Kupp's a beast, though.
Right.
Like, this was the year to draft wide receivers in your first two rounds.
Stephon didn't get no love from us this week.
He had a good week. Yeah. I don't know his stats off the top of my head, but he was a beast. He was like the tight end 8 or 6, I think, or wide receiver 6, I think.
8 receptions, 9 targets, 122 yards, 1 TD, 15.3 per reception, and 53-yard bomb. So, no, he did all right. He did all right. It's just fascinating when 122 yards and a 53 long ball, 8 for 9, doesn't get you WR1 because we have some amazing, amazing performances out of people like A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson, you know?
Yeah, so the thing about what I was kind of mentioning this year, which I thought was interesting because – and like, you know, drafting wide receivers in the first round was a safe way to go, right? Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and Davante Adams and Ja'Marr Chase all scored almost 28 points or more. Like, that's a monster.
Right.
You draft any of those guys in the first round and you're not upset about it.
Right.
You know, Michael Pittman, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown were they all scored over 25 points. And those guys are were second round to maybe third round picks, early third round picks. Those are really safe. When you look at running backs, though, Saquon, Jonathan Taylor, Swift all scored 26-plus points, and they were first and second round running backs.
Right.
But then Joe Mixon scored 21, and he's RB8.
Right. He got 82 yards.
Javonte Williams at 19.8 points, he's RB12.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other guys you drafted, Christian McCaffrey was RB17. Leonard Fournette, RB18, Nick Chubb, 19, Dalvin Cook, 20. These are all, like, guys you drafted in the first round or first or second round, and they finished, you know, as, like, low-end RB2s on the week. Now, they're obviously going to bounce back, but from a fantasy theory perspective, like, especially for this year, each year kind of can be a little bit different depending on ADP and, right, and how trends are going. But I thought, like, drafting wide receiver early – was a safer route this year because there's so much fluctuation in running backs. Now, there's less running backs in the league too, so it sucks when you get stuck with two crappy running backs because you waited too long and those later round guys, you know, you missed on. Instead of drafting Cordarrelle Patterson, you drafted – instead of drafting Cordarrelle Patterson and Kareem Hunt, you drafted, like, Cam Akers and Chase Edmonds, who Cam Akers put up zero. Chase Edmonds was one of my my preseason darlings, and he had an okay game. He had 10 points. He's going to have bigger games. You know what I mean? Right. Now, not every player is going to have a monster week every week, especially week one, right?
Right.
And that brings me to my start of the week. Okay, you know, I'm just going to give one. And this is one of my preseason darlings as well, guy that I have on a ton of leagues this year. But Devin Singletary from your wife's Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
He didn't have a big game. Let me see his stats real quick.
By the way, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills, so you open the door, Joey. Can we talk about Josh Allen's stiff arm? We haven't talked about that yet.
Oof.
Just get off
that
me,
man
son.
Had a family. Why you do that to him like that?
Go ahead, Joey.
His kids and wife were probably watching that game and just saw his dad. Man,
so you're saying his kids on the playground right now are getting clowned because their pops got stiffed armed by Josh Allen?
I mean, they probably getting a little bit clowned. It wasn't that he got oh, your dad got stiff armed by Josh Allen. You say your dad got stiff armed by a QB,
right?
You know,
get off me,
QBs
son.
QBs normally don't do that kind of stuff. So when you get punked by a QB, that's bad news.
Like a punter, the punter's the only thing.
Yeah. When a punter lays you out, it's not good either. You know,
didn't we have a punter one time that laid someone out? Skins back in the day.
I think we did.
All right, what you got?
So Singletary didn't get a lot of opportunities because they are mixing. It is a little bit of a timeshare with James Cook, who got the negative points on the week, and that blew a lot of people. Which it doesn't look good.
Okay,
because he fumbled his first carry or something, or second carry. I think it was the second carry. But he's going to get more opportunities down the road. It just might be a little while. Mm-hmm. He's going to be more the pass catching back. And Zach Moss is healthy again this year. I was a real big Zach Moss guy last year, but I guess he was dealing with injuries for the whole year, so he didn't get a lot of opportunities. But so he's going to be mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
But Devin Singletary had two targets, two catches for 14 yards, which is, you know, nothing crazy. But he had eight rushing attempts for 48 yards, which is 6 yards
a carry.
And I watched some of those carries, and he looked good.
Okay.
He looked good on them, right? And that's, you know, when you don't have, you only get 8 rushing attempts and you're in a timeshare, that's not great, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but at least you want efficiency with those carries. That means he's going to pop one. He's going to get some touchdowns. He's going to get some more targets. Like when you're good at your job, you're going to get more work, right? So he's going to eat. And this week he's playing the Tennessee Titans, who just let Saquon Barkley run amok. Yes.
Right.
So if you have any questions about Devin Singletary and he's on your team, just put him in your starting lineup this week. In your starting lineup this week. If he's on the waiver wire, if you even want to make a little trade for him, like, I would get Devin Singletary on the squad because he looked good with his opportunities that he did have. Now Zach Moss could get dinged up or something because, he was hurt most of the year last year. If something happens like that, then Singletary is pretty much the guy. But I think Devin Singletary has a great matchup this week. I think he's in an awesome position to just smash.
You said a lot, Joey.
I did.
You said a lot. But you know what folks can do? They can rewind and listen to it again.
They did.
If they miss something, they can listen to it again. His information is tight. He's telling you what he knows. Joey T, who do you want to send a shout out to?
I'll give my boy Hansi a shout out this week because my man came into my house. He watched a little football with me. Even though he's a Ravens fan, he knew I was going to be focusing.
Could be worse.
He knew I was going to be focusing on the Commanders this week,
right?
Because it was their first game ever as the Commanders. So he let me. We went back and forth to the red zone. Okay. He's in a couple of my leagues. He's in my Guillotine League, which is an awesome league.
Right.
I think everybody should do one. They're really fun. I'll talk about more about them next week. Hopefully, I'm still alive. but we're gonna have to cut this one a little bit shorter today. But yeah, my boy Hansi, he made some good picks on the week.
Right.
He had some teams that he picked the Giants. That's what it was. He picked the Giants.
Oh, smart man.
Yeah, he picked the Giants to get the win over Tennessee.
Okay.
And that was definitely a good move on his part.
Cool. I want to send a shout out to Paula, Chelsea, and Adam. My man Ron Perel, Gene the Barber down at Max Life Barber and Salon. Sean Park, and of course my man JB. Be sure to check out Joey T at Capitol Grill, downtown Washington, D.C. You working today?
I am. I'm on my way there now.
All right. Well, you better get going. But Joey T will be down there. Make sure. Look them up on Yelp, on Google, whatever. Find your way down. I mean, is that a Capitol Grill pin?
Oh, you know how it is. You want this joint?
I want this pin.
You got to have that thing right there.
The Capitol Grill. Go see Joey T because he is going to be at work today and several days. You work some doubles every now and then,
normally, if you come in to see me and work at my job and you sit down and you have a nice dinner, I give you a pin.
Right.
But Curtis Cross.
Wow.
Get that extra treatment.
Every week, Joey.
Every week. I'm just saying. What do you want me to
Can I thank the people now?
Thank the people.
We want to thank you guys for listening to the 2-Minute Drill. Each week we will join you on all your favorite podcast platforms, including Spotify, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and all of your favorite podcast platforms. So be sure to tune in and we will see you next time. Joey, close it out.
Hey, good luck this week, everybody. Y'all be easy. Have a good week.
The 2-Minute Drill is a football fantasy podcast and is not meant to encourage betting or wagering. Any stats or tips mentioned are for entertainment purposes only. Joey T and your host, Kirk Cross, do not condone or endorse sports betting or wagering.